This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch our show on Free Speech TV every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. FSTV is on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. The Philippines' new president, Rodrigo the Punisher Duterte, has come under fire internationally for publicly referring to U.S. President Obama as, quote, a son of a whore. Duterte, who was elected in June, campaigned on a platform of cleaning up the country's drug problem. Before being elected president, he was mayor of Davao City for decades and linked to a death squad responsible for murdering drug users and sellers. Now, under his short presidency in the past 2 months alone, at least 1,300 people have been found dead across the Philippines, many with their heads covered with signs identifying them as drug users or pushers. It was over this killing spree that Duterte defensively lashed out at Obama. The U.S. canceled President Obama's visit with the Philippines president in the wake of the controversial statements. My guest is Nicole Cababa. She is the Deputy Secretary General of Bayan USA. Welcome to the program, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Sonali, for having me.
Well, honestly, as I started researching this new president's background, I couldn't believe it. I kept feeling like I was sort of reading about some comic book villain. This is a person who has openly admitted to killing people, who has openly said that he would essentially, under his rule, there would be thousands of people killed. How is it even possible that such a person could be elected president of the Philippines? And I understand he was democratically elected.
Yes, so there was a recent election, and with President Duterte's position as president, we feel that it actually speaks volumes to that the Filipino people are tired of the status quo. They are tired of the widespread corruption that has happened in the Philippines. They are tired of the violence. And they were looking towards this new president, President Duterte, to be able to address some of the issues and concerns that are widespread, including the drug issues in the Philippines and including the widespread joblessness. And so while it may be a surprise to some that he was elected president, I think it speaks to what the Filipino people want is some change, some genuine change. But what we've seen these past few months alone, since his inauguration in late June, is that his attempts to address the drug problem has actually been very problematic. And we do condemn the extrajudicial killings that have taken place. Actually, it's been upwards to over 2,000 drug-related extrajudicial killings. And we believe that these killings should absolutely stop. And instead, President Duterte should be holding these responsible for these killings accountable. And if he truly does want to address the drug issues, he should be looking at socioeconomic reforms, rehabilitation for drug users, instead of a hyper-militarized and hyper-violent approach against the poor and the working class.
Let's talk about the comments that he made in reference to President Obama. He was due to meet the president, and sort of in anticipation of President Obama raising the issue of the extrajudicial killings, he basically turned around and said that he would, he would push back and that he would have nobody telling him what to do. He said, "I do not have any master except the Filipino people. Nobody but nobody. You must be respectful. Do not just throw questions." And then he basically referred to Obama with this expletive and said, "I will swear at you at this forum." The U.S. promptly canceled the meeting. And this President Duterte simply dismissed this. He did say he regretted making those statements. He's even sworn at the Pope in the past. And this is supposed to be his sort of style. I mean, when I referred to him as Rodrigo the Punisher Duterte, it's because he literally styles himself as the leader of some sort of vigilante justice, doesn't he? I mean, the Punisher, his slogan campaign, image was of a fist. I mean, aren't these all hallmarks of violence to begin with?
The thing about some of the things that he's been able to say about the violence, obviously, like I've mentioned before, as Biden USA, we are against all extrajudicial killings. We are against the U.S. militarization of the Philippines. And one of the things to take note of from this president is that it's unprecedented that we have a Philippine president that has the guts to actually stand up to U.S. intervention in the Philippines. If we look back
but
at
he's
the history
a murderer.
Of the Philippines,
he's actually openly admitted to murdering people.
And that's something that we actually have to address. We have to make sure that instead of the violence that he's trying to promote, we should instead be looking at socioeconomic reforms. And this is why there were thousands that gathered in the Philippines to actually deliver a 15-point program known as the People's Agenda, which is actually a better way to approach the drug issues. We're talking about those who are most affected by this drug war are the poor and the working class. And it's because of joblessness, it's because of the lack of free public education, social services, rehabilitation centers. This is why it's an ongoing issue. And he's not going to address this issue by continuing the violence. And so instead, we're urging President Duterte to look at the necessary socioeconomic reforms that are for the people. And the most necessary is actually national industrialization, making sure that there are jobs for people. If they don't have jobs, then of course they're going to be continuously vulnerable to drug use. There's no resources out there for them.
So Nicole, who is being killed and who is doing the killing? Are those, among those you said over 2,000 now killed, imagine just even from the photographs, are mostly poor folks. I mean, it's usually poor folks who get caught up in drug wars, whether they're the ones using or selling or both. And then who is doing the killing?
Most of these killings are actually by vigilante groups. And actually what we've noticed too is that, you know, the Philippine National Police, while they are also, you know, used as a way to address this drug problem, is also very problematic. Many of the Philippine National Police and these vigilantes have never been held accountable for any of these murders, any of the harassment. And this is something that the president needs to be paying attention to and shouldn't just allow for these vigilante groups and the Philippine National Police to run recklessly. But we've seen that, and this is an ongoing struggle. This isn't actually anything that new. It's just getting more widespread attention. And what we're seeing is that even the Armed Forces of the Philippines has committed human rights violations in the country, and that we really need to make sure that all of these attempts at state violence, all of these attempts at state repression need to be stopped immediately.
Right. And certainly the Philippines has struggled for years with human rights violations under previous presidents. And I want to get to that in just a moment. But on this issue of rehabilitation, this controversial president who seems to condone and encourage vigilante violence against masses of people has also encouraged drug addicts to turn themselves in. However, the country has been overwhelmed. I understand hundreds of thousands of people basically turning themselves into authorities saying that they have a problem with drugs, but there are the country seems overwhelmed, at least according to one New York Times article, with dealing with rehabilitation, that it has the facilities because drug use is so widespread. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, I think it's important that we look at rehabilitation, we look at social services as a way to address these drug issues and make sure that people have as much support from their local government to be able to, have a second chance to really rehabilitate. But the reality is that in the Philippines, it's really the richest 1% that continue to reap the natural resources and reap the benefits. And that's through corruption, right? We would actually have more hospitals, more services, if it wasn't for the widespread corruption that still exists in the Philippines. And this is largely modeled after the U.S. government in terms of being able to privatize social services. So these neoliberal policies, these attempts to privatize hospitals, schools, you name it, many of these services that people rely on are no longer accessible and weren't accessible for a majority of the population. And so if we truly want to address this drug problem, I've talked to many community members who've said they deserve a second chance, they deserve to rehabilitate, they want to see the violence stopped, and we share that same sentiment. That's why we are pointing the attention to this 15-point program to make sure that folks are paying attention to the issue around national sovereignty, to make sure that the Philippines becomes a nationalized and self-sustaining economy one in which it can take care of itself and not rely on foreign corporations to provide low-wage jobs and take advantage of our people.
Right. Sadly, on back to the just for a minute on to the issue on the addicts that are turning themselves in, not everybody gets rehabilitation. Apparently about 15,000 people who've turned themselves in have simply been arrested and sent into the prisons. Let's talk about the last time President Obama visited the Philippines was in 2014. He's met with the last two presidents of the Philippines, Benigno Aquino, and before that, Gloria Macapagal Arroyo. Both these presidents highly problematic in terms of having cozy relations with the U.S. and being a very willing partner to U.S. foreign policy. What has the U.S. relationship with the Philippines been? And how has it changed in recent months?
So what we've seen since 1899, since the U.S. colonized the Philippines and launched the Philippine-American War, which led to the loss of at least 1.5 million Filipino lives, we've seen that the U.S. has always had self-serving interests and has basically enriched itself off of the backs and the resources of the Filipino people, and it continues to do so today. So while the Philippines was granted nominal independence in the mid-1940s, what we still see is that the U.S. continues to maintain military, cultural, political, and economical control over the Philippines. And this is a form of neocolonialism that we continue to see today. And so its grip on the Filipino lives is really strong in a sense that they use unequal agreements such as the Visiting Forces Agreement as well as the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement. These two agreements were made so that the U.S. could use the Philippines as its own military base. So we have thousands of U.S. troops coming to the Philippines doing these war exercises on counterinsurgency. And we know that these tactics mean war. This means war. And we know that there are needless casualties on civilians and displaced indigenous people and even violence against women and children, like what we saw 2 years ago. We're reaching the anniversary of Jennifer Laude, a Filipina transgender woman who was brutally strangled to death by U.S. Marine Joseph Scott Pemberton just in October of 2014. And what we're continuing to see is that instead of stopping these U.S. troops from coming to our country, what we're continuing to see is that there's an intensification of U.S. troops and militarization, particularly throughout Mindanao, but throughout the archipelago. And we want the U.S. actually to stop the militarization of the Asia Pacific, including the Philippines, because we know it's an effort to, again, maintain control, push the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and more unequal agreements that really are just self-serving for the U.S.
Well, Nicole, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and shedding light on some of these issues beyond the story about Duterte's comments on Obama. Much more context to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Nicole Kababa is the Deputy Secretary General of Bayan USA. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find all of our interviews on risingupwithsonali.com as well as subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.